grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading today from the Gospel and the Lectio Continua brings the story of the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt and return. In the traditional pericopes, it comes in the post-Christmas season, and since this coincides with the secular New Year, the lesson is very fitting for that occasion. How God in His providence provided rich gifts from the Magi for the trip. How the angel of God warned Joseph when to go and when to return. Surely it was not all planned that way by Joseph and Mary. Yet God led them step by step. The whole circumstance brings to mind a text from the book of Proverbs. The heart of a man devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It is quite often said that each man makes his own destiny. An old saying from the classics declares, Faber quidque est, tui fortuna. Each man is the architect of his own fortune. That is, of course, the view of the unbeliever. He sets out to exercise that inalienable right of all Americans, the pursuit of happiness. He plans how it will be. He seeks to devise his way. He does so without God. Then he finds that things ultimately do not work out that way. He may gain worldly honor, wealth, and power, does not find the happiness he seeks, for the human heart does not find rest, except it find rest in its Maker. He who has listened to the tempter who says, disobey God. Devise your own way and your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Then comes the cruel blow, and his eyes are open, and he finds himself hiding from God and even completely disoriented in his relationship to his fellow man. So it seems to him God is his enemy. He feels what Scripture calls the wrath of God, which is nothing else than the fruit of his own doing. On the one hand, the Scriptures describe it as God punishing him. On the other, it pictures him as being abandoned by God, a man from whom God has withdrawn his spirit on his own. This truth is echoed often in the Psalter. The wrath of God comes on man in rebellion. Psalm 7, if the man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and strung his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and brings forth lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole which he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own case his violence descends. This truth also applies to whole nations that abandon God. Best described in Kipling's Recessional. It's drunk with sight of power, we loose wild tongues that have not thee in awe, such boastings as the Gentiles use, or lesser breeds without the law. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. For heathen hearts that put their trust in reeking tomb and iron shards, all valiant dust that builds on dust, and guarding calls not thee to guard, for frantic boasts and foolish words, thy mercy on thy people, Lord. Yet even the day before the believer, there is always the temptation to devise his own way. This does not mean we should not do intelligent planning, but the implication of our text is surely that we should constantly seek his will, who will ultimately direct our steps. Like Jacob, the wandering Aramean, we too must pray amid the encircling gloom to let him direct our very steps. God, Jacob, filled with fear before Esau, like Abraham before him, entered Canaan in obedience to God's word. A strange experience, a
get a glimpse of how God's plan was ultimately behind all his movements. Ephraim Spicer, in his commentary on Genesis, makes a very pertinent comment, observation in this connection. Talked about Jacob's fears and hopes. States, the whole chapter is given over to encounters of one kind or another, actual and anticipated, sublime and trifling. Ironically enough, it is the incalculable that turns out to be real, while the carefully calculated never comes off. The contrast is significant, if not altogether deliberate. As has been stressed repeatedly, biblical history in general and patriarchal history in particular unfolds on two planes. At the one level, man is entangled in ephemeral personal affairs. At the other level, there can be glimpsed the master plan wherein man is used as the unwitting tool of destiny, God directing his steps. All this means that when Jesus says to each of us, "Follow me," we set aside our plans and follow his steps. May not indeed, will not always be as our minds have devised it. He said to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. When you are old, you will have stretched out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." Of course, St. Peter was an apostle, but we as ministers of the gospel are also apostles, even though spelled not with a capital A, meaning we are sent by him. This means more than adhering to an abstract doctrinal system. It means looking to Christ alone for direction and leaving the future to him. There is a fad that has crept into some of our ministerial conferences. It is a sociological concept called futures planning. Means analyzing social change and seeking amid several possible futures to strive toward a preferable future for society. This future, it is said, can be shaped and designed. In contrast to this kind of notion, again, our text says, "The heart of a man devises his way, the Lord directs his steps." No, what is required is a waiting upon the Lord and a close adherence to Christ alone, who sends us as he sent Peter and the 12. You may say that this way points to too many uncertainties. Exactly. We are asked to leave the relative security of our old life and step into absolute insecurity, which nevertheless is the greatest security in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We are asked to leave a life which is calculable according to our own goals and step into a life where everything is unobservable and incalculable, which nevertheless is calculable in the sense that our good shepherd is doing the leading. We are invited from the realm of the finite into the realm of the infinite possibilities of the kingdom of God. All this is nothing else than bondage to Christ alone, completely breaking through every program, every social ideal, and every scheme devised of the human mind. It means walking in the freedom of true discipleship. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus to life everlasting.